all of Psalm 117, which has two verses. Praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. If the hobbits had known the Psalms, they would have liked that one very much. One, because it's a poem and a song all at once, and two, because it's short and obvious. And all hobbits like their speeches that way. Today is the birthday of Bilbo and Frodo Baggins, and we have sunshine for it. And I think we can thank Frodo and Bilbo for that. We can also thank Libby Drescher, Paul Kretschmer, and Chris Knutson because they aborted their hike and came back, which is why the sun is shining. And both those things, sunshine and Bilbo and Frodo, is a reason to celebrate, and hobbits celebrate for any reason. And Christians also celebrate for any reason. Now, I realize that Bilbo and Frodo's birthday is not one of the high holy days of the Christian church. It is, however, a high holy day at Holden Village, a holiday of the First Order. And I think that if you do nothing else today, you do what hobbits do. It's called, you find a very comfortable place with something very good to drink and something very nice to listen to, preferably not to read, that's too much work. And put your feet up, hopefully they aren't hairy like hobbits, but put them up and enjoy the day. It's good always to celebrate. It's good always to be in a place where we can, as a community, get together to laugh and sing and especially to eat. I keep looking at Paul Hinderly and saying, isn't it wonderful? And as the kitchen's sitting there going... But they'll get their holiday soon, we will hope. But also on this day, besides celebrating simply Bilbo and Frodo, we also celebrate the gift of imagination that's been given us through J.R.R. Tolkien and many like him, who in terms of their own Christian life and their life as scholars could break free from that and let their imaginations go crazy and come up with wonderful things like The Hobbit and The Fellowship of the Ring, and wonderful little people that run around. Tolkien created a whole world for the hobbits, everything, from the beginning. When Ilúvatar, who was his top deity or whatever, caused music to create the world. And that's the kind of a day this is, one of music and thanksgiving and celebration. And so join in it with everything you've got. And give thanks to God for the fact that we can celebrate and laugh together, and especially give thanks for Bilbo and Frodo and for all things hobbity. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for celebration and for holidays and for times to laugh and to let go. We give you thanks especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom all things are hilarious and holy for us because we can laugh at ourselves. We give you thanks especially for all the people here, for those leaving on this day, grant them a safe journey home. We pray also for all remaining that this may indeed be a day of fun and celebration. And we give you thanks for Tolkien and Lewis and all the other people whose imaginations have spurred our imaginations and given us all so much delight. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray this. Amen. We're not done. We're going to stand up and sing the doxology.
We'll just begin our spiel this morning. We wanted to make sure that everybody got into the hobbit spirit of things before the hair started to grow on some of our toes and not on others. Well, what we wanted to talk about today was the making of a feast, and the feast in this case is Bilbo and Frodo Baggins' Feast Extraordinaire, which I think we've been running since 1969. Is that true, Tom? Mm-hmm. And As Tom was saying this morning, it's an exportable feast, a movable feast. We move it from the 21st. I think it's being celebrated this year in Los Angeles on the 23rd by certain expatriates of Holden Village, and it's being celebrated in Minneapolis, I think, on the 23rd, too. So the date means nothing, since it has nothing whatever to do with the Gregorian or the Julian calendar. But we should start by talking about fasts, I suppose, before we talk about feasts. And one of the glorious reasons we have for feasting is that we fast. And a reason for a feast is that it has nothing whatever to do with a balanced diet. It's probably takes several days off your life by eating a large meal. But it's so glorious to do it, and you can make up for it either the morning before or the day after. Luther, in his table talk at one point, was shaming the monks for their self-righteous, self-conscious fasting. And he said, it doesn't do them any good. They fast and just make themselves miserable, and then what's worse, they get some pride out of it. He said, I eat and drink a lot, and the next day I'm so miserable I can't eat anything, and I accomplish a fast, and I have no reason to feel proud because it's my own fault that I can't eat anything. So that's, I don't want anybody to overeat that much tonight, but I think to have a fast and look forward to a feast takes a lot of the self-righteousness out of fasting, and one doesn't, one can feel glad about an ending as we do about life and our life after life. And I don't want to say that all of our life on earth is a fast, but we certainly do have a glorious feast coming. The second reason for feasting, I think, comes from Psalm 23, that you have set before me a table in the presence of mine enemies. And if Christians can't feast, who else can? We have to realize that there may be a war going on. There certainly is, and we are in the middle of our enemies. But we're going to have a table and feast to the glory of God. It's something that Fritz said a while ago about a Christian has to say to hell with it. Only a Christian can say to hell with it, and a Christian must. And how much more only a Christian can say to heaven with it. And this is one of our foretastes of heaven, certainly, is the feast. So, when you do have your feast, keep in mind that the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and he also came fasting for 40 days, and probably much more. But certainly we have reason to be joyful and reason to fill our stomachs and our ears and our eyes, I guess we feast our eyes, on all the goodness that the Lord provides. One thing, when you move out in the outside world and have your feasts, have it with convivial people as well. When Jesus talks about the people being, you know, pulled in from the hedgerows, those are the kind of people you want, the people who ended up in the hedgerows for some time and are afraid to come out. Often, they're your best feasters. And for something like Bilbo and Frodo's birthday, the number of people who've read the books it grows every day. So you can get always get an interest going in people making steak and mushroom pie or something like that.
Okay, Tom. Just a few things about how do you do it? I mean, I imagine from looking at the board that a lot of people imagined that it was going to be a series of recipes on how you put together a feast. Just a little of how the first one started. We didn't have hardly any money at all, and I wasn't kidding when I said that, you know, I don't know what all I bought with a month's worth of food stamps, you know.
It was a pineapple, I think.
Yes. I had pineapples and nectarine, and I remember a beautiful ham. Just money. When you have a feast, money is no object, no matter how little you have. I remember in college when I used to get loans, which if they knew what I was going to do with them, they never would have given to me. But I would get like $1,000 or something. This was to last a year. Well, $300 of this was blown down the drain right away. You know, what fun is it to have money, which is the thing that you can always get more of? You know, I mean, there's lots of money in this country. Who are you worrying about? Money is ridiculous. And, I mean, I was on a just about a starvation budget. You wouldn't know it from looking at me now, but I was. But that way, I had a remembrance of that money. I had it rather than 9 months later going, now, where did all that go? I know that I had a lot of money. Oh, yes, now let's see, 26 cents went for a loaf of bread, and 30 cents went for a quart of milk, and 62 cents went for eggs, and isn't that high? You know, I thought, wow, I know where it went. Boy, did we have a good time, you know? Do that. That's one of the fun things about money, and it takes money to have a feast. Not a lot. The hobbits, if you read the books, are not people who were eating ribeye steaks or anything like this. Simple foods, well prepared. Like Paul was saying, get some convivial people together. That's what we did. We make a fire in the fireplace. Somebody would read a couple of the Ring book stories. We'd sing some of the songs. Paul would sing the songs from the Donald Swan, the guy who wrote some of the songs we're going to do. Also set some of the poetry in the Ring books to music, and we'll do some of those later tonight at dessert. But and then it's getting people into the fun of a good time. You don't have to have a reason. It's not, oh, we have to have a party because of the hobbits. I mean, it is that, but it's for no good reason, you know, which is, for me, the heart of festivity. I mean, that's what the cross is about. It's not for any good reason at all, you know. It's just, it's a gift, you know. God wasn't hunting around for reasons when he saved us. He just decided to because he loved us. And it's out of love that festivities are allowed to happen. So go and buy things that are really good food. Take your money out of the bank. I remember one of the great things that I learned from Carol Hinderley was when you're down to your last 50 bucks in the bank, take that 50 and blow it. You know, you'll get some more, you know. That's right. John says, leave a dollar in there for your account to stay open. So that you will have somewhere to put it when the Lord provides some more for you.
Song, and then we'll think of more things to say, probably. You have to, I think singing is part of festivity. They kind of go together. We're going to sing some raucous songs that have nothing whatsoever to do with Bilbo's birthday. And I think Bilbo would have liked that, since obviously on the original Bilbo's birthday, they didn't sit around telling ring stories, since it hadn't been written yet. Anyway, we'll sing one of the songs that they probably liked. This is called Have Some Madeira, Madeira. And it's, I don't know.
Some fans.
Thank you.
Is there anyone from Kansas here?
I don't know how to introduce it except by saying that it's an old Edwardian folk song and has very little to do with anyone except that it probably relates to the original Edward. Okay.
She was young, she was pure, she was new, she was nice, she was fair, she was sweet 17. He was old, he was vile, and no stranger to vice. He was base, he was bad, he was mean. He had slyly inveigled her up to his flat to see his collection of stamps, all unperforated. And he said, as he hastened to put out the cat, the wine, his cigar, and the lamps, "Have some Madeira, Madeira. You really have nothing to fear. I'm not trying to tempt you, that wouldn't be right. You shouldn't drink spirits at this time of night. Have some Madeira, Madeira. It's very much nicer than beer. I don't care for sherry, one cannot drink stout, and port is a wine I can well do without. It's simply a case of shekel or sunk out. So have some Madeira, Madeira." Unaware of the wiles of the snake in the grass, of the fate of the maiden who topes, she lowered her standards by raising her glass, her spirits, her eyes, and his hopes. She sipped it, she drank it, she drained it, she did. He quietly refilled it again. And he said, as he secretly carved one more notch on the butt of his gold-handled cane, I have some Madeira, Madeira. I've got a small cask of it here. And once it's been opened, you know it won't keep. To finish it up, it will help you to sleep. Have some Madeira, Madeira. It's really an excellent year. Now, if it were gin, one would be wrong to say yes. The evil gin does would be hard to assess. Besides, it's inclined to affect me prowess. So have some Madeira, Madeira. Take it away. Then it flashed through her mind what her mother had said with her antepenultimate breath. Oh, my child, should you look on the wine when 'tis red, be prepared for a fate worse than death. She let go her glass with a shrill little cry. Crash, tinkle, it fell to the floor. When he asked what in heaven, she made no reply. Up a mind and a dash for the door. Have some Madeira, Madeira, rang out down the hall loud and clear. A tremulous cry that was filled with despair as she paused to take breath in the full midnight air. Have some Madeira, Madeira. The words seemed to ring in her ear. Until the next morning, she woke up in bed with a smile on her lips and an ache in her head. And a beard in her ear hole that tickled and said, have some Madeira, Madeira.
Tom's little godson, Sam, loves that song. It's his favorite, really, yeah. Sam thinks it's about cake, of course.
So does Tom.
More words about food.
Yes.
Do we have a word from our sponsor? Yes, the Holden Kitchen right now, you see them over there, happy, smiling faces. They've wonderful people. God, love them. They've been preparing for this for several days, sitting in meditation down in Koinonia Library. And actually, they're not sure what's going to be on the table tonight. It's all sort of going to happen about 4 o'clock. I'm not sure either. So, our TV dinners will be out, macaroni and cheese. when you make something like Bilbo's birthday, or when you're cooking in general, it's so much fun. Up at Holden, since everyone is a volunteer, it's so much fun to have all the ingredients fresh. And since we don't have a labor cost problem to fill out our budget, we do like to have everyone take part. And there won't be anything artificial added to this meal tonight, except probably in the entertainment. The Hobbits have a delightful thing they call filling out the corners. That's at that stage when you're really full, but there are things still on the table that are just calling you back. And that's the delightful stage of the feast, and you should just sort of be able to nibble at things. And so we found Bilbo's recipe for poppy seed cake, and we'll just do what we can with that.
And by all means, when you're done with the meal, don't... here, of course, we do have to have something to do with the dishes, but I remember the first one that we had in Minneapolis, there were about 15 people, I suppose, and we all crammed around and ate for several hours, and then we left it all on the table. And then the next morning, we woke up about noon and went down, and it was all still there, you know? And we picked at that over a wonderful bottle of port till about 6 at night. I think that...
It's those people in the hedgerows that stick around. You see, once they're there, like the poor relations in all the Dickens novels, they tend to stay on. That's not entirely true. I don't remember that. But could have been the bottle of port. But I don't remember that either. Up here, we have to put the food away sooner, which is a problem, I'll admit, since it is really fun. On occasion, we find in the walk-in where people have decided that they want to fill out their own corners at about 12 or 1 at night. And I don't know, that makes me rather sad, I guess, in one way. But in another way, it's kind of nice to know that there are hobbits still present. Oh, no, Sam missed his song. I'm sorry about that. No, we'll sing again. Well, we'll sing another animal song. This one I don't know as well, so I'll sing it from here. It's called The Gnu. Michael Flanders, as you may have known, was in a wheelchair. He got polio during the middle of World War II, in the middle of the Mediterranean, I think. So I tend to always sing these songs sitting down in deference to Michael Flanders. This is called The Gnu.
A year ago, last Thursday, I was strolling through the zoo when I met a man who thought he knew the lot. He was laying down the law about the habits of baboons and the number of quills a porcupine has got. I asked him, "What's that creature there?" He answered, "It's a helk." I might have gone on thinking that was true if the animal in question hadn't put that chap to shame and remarked, "I ain't a helk. I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. The gnicest work of gnature in the zoo. I'm a gnu. How do you do? You really ought to know wahoo's wahoo. I'm a gnu. Spelt G-N-U. I'm not a camel or a kangaroo. So let me introduce, I'm neither man nor moose. Oh, gnu, 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 I'm a gnu." I had taken furnished lodgings down at Rustington-on-Sea, from whence I traveled to Ashton-on-the-Lion, it was. And the second night I stayed there, I was wakened from a dream, which I'll tell you all about some other time. Among the hunting trophies on the wall above my bed was, stuffed and mounted, a face I thought I knew. A bison? No. An okapi? No. Is it perhaps a hearty beast? Then I seemed to hear a voice. "I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. A another gnu. I wish I could gnash my teeth at you. I'm a gnu, spelt G-N-U. You really ought to know wahoo's wahoo. I'm a gnu, how do you do? Call me bison or a copy and I'll sue. Gnor am I in the least, like that dreadful hearty beast. Oh, gnu, 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 I'm a gnu. Gnu, 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 I'm a gnu. Gnu, 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 I'm a gnu."
Well, what else is there? Oh, there's that. We'll finish with that. Feast and fast and enjoy. Do you have something else to say, Tom?
No.
Bellow, if you must. The Chinese, of course, have a great way of saying that's the Greeks. Dise tris ta kala. The Chinese say, "Don't hurry, go slow, just hurry, stand still." But the Greeks say two or three times for the good things. And one of the fun things about having a special day of the year for just a celebration like this is that it becomes something of a tradition. You don't get locked in by that. Although I certainly would never serve Jell-O at a at a Bilbo's feast. I think that you can be pretty wide open in whatever you want
instant
to make.
Potatoes.
Instant mashed potatoes. Yeah.
Out.
That's out. Well, that has to be out since the gaffer himself, of course, was a great gardener, and that's Samwise Gamgee's father. He was the authority, considered the authority by all, including himself, especially in the matter of potatoes. So tonight we'll have gaffer's roast potatoes. What?
Cram?
No, cram is the whey bread that the dwarves have. That's
we get
right.
That every day.
We get that every day. And, Tom, the bus leaves every day. Be under it.
Thank you.
Leaving today on the Lady of the Lake will be Tom Ahlstrom. We could sing End Up with the Hippopotamus songs. Are there any more requests? Everybody has to join in this because I need help. I think Tom is going to have to sing the second verse in Russian.
A bold hippopotamus was standing one day by the banks of that cool Shalimar. He gazed at the bottom as it peacefully lay by the light of an evening star. Away on a hilltop sat combing her hair his fair hippopotami maid. The hippopotamus was no ignoramus and sang her this sweet serenade. Mud, mud, glorious mud, there's nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow in glorious mud. That fair hippopotama he aimed to entice from her seat on that hilltop above. As she hadn't got a ma to give her advice, came tiptoeing down to her love. Like thunder, the forest re-echoed the sound of the song that they sang as they met. His inamorata adjusted her garter and lifted her voice in duet.
In Russian.
Glanz, glanz, liebliche glanz. Lucheste razovna czarne vai, sota cidu non diaiu.
Follow me, follow.
Lutu non de vriarlu.
Down to the hollow.
Sto lukiti vriarniste stufiche glien.
There to improve our cultural relations.
Now more hippopotami began to convene on the banks of that river so wide. I wonder now what am I to say of that scene that ensued by the Shalimar side. They dived all at once with an ear-spitting splash, then rose to the surface again. A regular army of hippopotami, all singing this haunting refrain. Bum, 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 bum. Mud, mud, glorious mud. There's nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there we will wallow in glorious mud.
Thank you. Each song is part of the story of the Ring Books, and I'll... The first song is called The Road Goes Ever On and On, and that's the name of the song cycle. And it's the song Bilbo sings after his birthday party, when he's heading out the door after disappearing from the rest of the hobbits. And he's 111, when he sings this. And so my voice after today probably will fit in very well with an 111-year-old hobbit.
The road goes ever on and on, down from the door where it began. Now far ahead the road has gone, and I must follow if I can, pursuing it with weary feet, until it joins some larger way, where many paths and errands meet. And whither then? The road goes ever on and on. And whither then? I cannot say.
Second song is sung by the young hobbits as they're heading out 50 years later, or on their trip to find where Bilbo is gone and other things. Upon the hearth the fire is red, it's called.
Upon the hearth the fire is red, beneath the roof there is a bed, but not yet weary are our feet, still round the corner we may meet a sodden tree or standing stone that none have seen but we alone. Tree and flower and leaf and grass, let them pass, hill and water under sky, pass them by, Till round the corner there may wait a new road or a secret gate, and though we pass them by today, tomorrow we may come this way and take the hidden paths that run towards the moon or to the sun. Apple, thorn, and nut, and sloe, let them go, let them go. Sand and stone and pool and dell, fare you well, fare you well. Home is behind the world ahead, and there are many paths to tread. Through shadows to the edge of night, until the stars are all alight, then world behind and home ahead. We'll wander back to home and bed. Mist and twilight, cloud and shade, away shall fade, away shall fade. Fire and lamp, and meat and bread, and then to bed, then to bed.
The next song in the cycle is sung by the oldest person alive in the world. He's an ent, a shepherd of the trees, and he looks rather like a tree himself. His name is Treebeard, or Fangorn. And this is the song he sings to two of the hobbits.
In the willow meads up to Sarinon I walked in the spring. How the sight and the smell of the spring in Antazarion, and I said that was good. I wandered in the summer in the elm woods of Osirion. How the light and the music in the summer by the seven rivers of Osir, and I thought that was best. To the beaches of Neldoreth I came in the autumn, of the gold and the red and the sighing of the leaves in the autumn in Tarn and Eldor. It was more than my desire. To the pine trees upon the highland of Dorthonion I climbed in the winter. Ah, the wind and the whiteness and the black branches of winter upon Orin Arathon. And my voice went up and sang in the sky. And now, all those lands lie under the wave. And I walk in Umbarona, in Tauramona, in Aldeliome, in my own land, in the country of Fangorn, where the roots are long and the years lie thicker than the leaves, in Tauramona.
Next song is sung by Samwise Gamgee in the tower of the one of the towers of the Dark Lord, Sauron. And he sings this when all hope is gone and he's lost his master, Frodo, and he only has the ring left and he doesn't know what to do. And this is what he sits down and sings this almost in spite of himself.
In western lands beneath the sun, the flowers may rise in spring, the trees may bud, the waters run, the merry finches sing. Or there may be 'tis cloudless night and swaying beeches bare, the elven stars as jewels white amid their branching hair. Journey
his hand I lie in darkness buried deep. Beyond all towers strong and high, beyond all mountains steep, above all shadows rides the sun, and stars forever dwell. I will not say the day is done, nor bid the stars farewell.
The final song is Bilbo's, one of Bilbo's farewell songs, and he at this time is 133, and he's welcoming the hobbits back from their trip and talking about when he might see them again, or might not. And it's called I Sit Beside the Fire and Think. In 134, you can do that.
I sit beside the fire and think of all that I have seen, of meadow flowers and butterflies in summers that have been, of yellow leaves and gossamer in autumns that there were, with morning mist and silver sun and wind upon my heart. I sit beside the fire and think of how the world will be when winter comes without a spring that I shall ever see. For still there are so many things that I have never seen. In every wood, in every spring, there is a different green. Sit beside the fire and think of people long ago, and people who will see a world that I shall never know. But all the while I sit and think of times that were before, I listen for returning feet and voices at the door.
Thank you.